The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, this is Cass Sheeran for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest legal matters. Today's legal matters is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937, by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the service provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. For the last several months, Disability Rights North Carolina has partnered with the North Carolina Reading Service for this Legal Matters podcast, exploring the kinds of cross-disability, legally-based advocacy Disability Rights NC is doing on behalf of children and adults with disabilities in North Carolina. I'm very excited to bring you today's episode because I get to be in conversation with, and you get to meet, Ed Rizzuto, a Durham lawyer who currently serves as Disability Rights NC's board chair. We're going to be talking about our annual conference earlier this month, Stronger Together, and also some of Ed's community advocacy work over there in Durham. Some quick information about Disability Rights NC, or DRNC. We are an independent 501c3 nonprofit organization and a member of the National Disability Rights Network. We are called the Protection and Advocacy Agency for North Carolina, the PNA. We do a wide variety of work on behalf of the nearly 3 million disabled people throughout North Carolina. You can learn a lot about the work we do on our website, disabilityrightsnc.org. And while you're there, please sign up for our newsletter so you can get regular updates about the work we're doing and how we might be able to provide outreach into your community. As I mentioned, I'm Cass Sheeran, and I'm on DRNC's communications team. I've been with the organization for 15 years in various positions and absolutely love what this committed, passionate team of people accomplish on behalf of people with disabilities, always with the needs and desires of disabled people centering our work. Now for our guest, Ed Rizzuto. Ed joined the DRNC Board of Directors in February of 2020. He initially became involved with DRNC in 2017 as a pro bono attorney, providing assistance to clients seeking to pursue discrimination claims with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. He obtained his law degree and law license in California, where he practiced employment, civil rights, personal injury, and child abuse law. Since moving to Durham in 2015, Ed has devoted a great deal of his time and energy to embracing, supporting, and advocating for North Carolina's community of people who are blind or visually impaired. Together with a couple of friends, Ed organized Durham's vibrant and thriving Vision Insights Support and Advocacy Group in 2017. He currently serves on Durham's Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Commission and Durham's Long-Term Comprehensive Plan Outreach Team, both of which he volunteered for to lend a greater voice to Durham's community of people with disabilities on matters of public policy. Ed teaches self-advocacy, accessible technology, and independent living skills classes with the North Carolina Division of Services for the Blind. He is a firm believer in the concept that people with disabilities are the best authorities on their own experience and that their voices should be prioritized on matters of public policy that impact them. So that's a lot about Ed, and there's so much more about Ed, and I'm so happy to welcome you, Ed. Thank you so much for taking this time. And I understand you've actually stepped out of a class you're teaching to be here today.
That's right. It's good to be here. I was teaching a independent living skills class. It's work that I do through the Department of Health and Human Services, Division of Services for the Blind, here in Durham and Wake County, and some of the surrounding counties, Hornet, Johnston, several others. But right now we're doing a virtual class, so I get to teach it from my home.
That's wonderful. And as I understand it, that program is actually what I think led you to Disability Rights North Carolina, right?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, and I moved to Durham in late 2015 from California with my wife and my three kids, and I got in touch with the Division of Services for the Blind. I'm blind, and I just wanted to find out what resources were available here and what communities were available here in North Carolina. And that call led me to get involved with a daily living skills program that Services for the Blind runs, and I participated in an independent living skills class in 2016. Elaine Whitman, who was, an outreach coordinator with DRNC back at that time, was a speaker during that independent living skills class. And so I learned about DRNC, and I made a point of connecting with Elaine after her talk, just because I was new in town and had a law background, and she was talking about all the good legal work DRNC was doing. So I made a point of connecting with her, and that led to my doing the pro bono work with DRNC that you mentioned, and ultimately joining the board.
Well, that was our great fortune that that actually happened the way that it did. And I understand yesterday, Ed, when you and I talked a little bit in advance of this class, that one of the resources that you make sure to tell people about in that class is actually the North Carolina Resource Reading Service, right?
That's right. We have had speakers from DRNC participate in our classes in person, but in recent years, it's been, we do the presentation about it, and we air. It's kind of fun because at whatever time of day we're doing the lesson, we tune into NCRS and see what's going on. And I remember just a couple weeks ago we did a lesson, and a gentleman was reading a news article about trout, which was kind of interesting. And so you never know what you're going to get when you tune in randomly. But we do share about NCRS. We share about their program guide. It's there's a really great accessible guide to all the wonderful programming they do. And we teach about NCRS. It's a great resource.
Yeah, it's a good way to keep people connected to things that are happening all around their communities and their worlds. And that's one of the things that I picked up in my conversations with you, Ed, is your firm belief and your passion about connecting with others, people and organizations, and how working in coalition helps build the most effective and representative result, which was actually the theme of DRNC's annual conference this year, Stronger Together. Because we all need to work together across disabilities and issues instead of focusing exclusively on our own specific issue or issues, which are important, but it's so important to make meaningful progress together on all disability rights. So, Ed, tell us a little bit about your thoughts about the conference. This was your first conference, right? DRNC conference, I should say.
First conference with DRNC. When I joined the board in 2020, I guess there was a conference planned for May of 2020, and COVID kind of derailed that. So this recent conference, a few weeks ago, was the first one that DRNC. Sorry about that. My phone just fell. Was the first one to put on since COVID. And I was really fortunate to be able to participate in it. I sat in on some of the planning meetings, so I had the benefit of some insight into how it was going to play out and such. But it exceeded my expectations, what the folks at DRNC had actually put together and the communities and the resources that DRNC brought together for the conference.
Yeah, we had... I'm sorry?
It was a great day. It was a great conference, and it was a great day.
Yeah.
I was really happy to participate in it. I learned a lot.
We had about 300 people who came from all over the state, and we were able to provide scholarships to more than 30 people. And there was a packed exhibition hall where we had 36 exhibitors, and you found something in that exhibition hall that you did not expect to find. Can you tell us about that, Ed?
Yeah, actually, there were a couple of things, but I think what you're referring to is there was a presentation on the problem in North Carolina of solitary confinement as a means of punishing and disciplining inmates. And DRNC has been doing work on behalf of people with disabilities, and particularly incarcerated people with disabilities who disproportionately find themselves in solitary confinement. in North Carolina's prisons. So DRNC had set up an exhibit in the exhibition hall where folks could use a virtual reality headset and headphones to experience about a 15 to 20 minute long, session of what it's like to be in solitary confinement. So it was a presentation where you were actually experiencing, in my case, the sounds of what it would be like to be in a solitary confinement cell. There were visual components too that, in my case, were through the VR headset not accessible to me. But that's just because I'm blind, and it was really helpful for me to have people talking about what it's like during that that VR session. So former inmates describing the essentially torture that they would go through, being locked for 23 or more hours a day in confinement, and describing how that time is spent and how that time impacts them. It was very moving. It was immediately, within a minute or so, just raised this sense of unease, physical unease in me. Mm-hmm. It was so poignant and effective. So it incorporated in the actual sounds from that one would hear being confined in a solitary confinement cell. There was also a narration from former inmates who had been through this. And my takeaway from it was that, especially for people with disabilities, but it's going to exacerbate any mental health issues that someone may have. And I think it's fair to say that many inmates are people with mental disabilities, mental health issues, mm-hmm. and to place people with those types of issues in solitary confinement is going to exacerbate those issues. But I also came away with the sense that confining people in solitary confinement is going to have the impact of creating people with disabilities, or creating disabilities in people where there were otherwise, where they previously didn't exist.
Yeah.
It's that harsh a punishment or treatment.
I think that I'm so glad that we were able to bring in that component to the conference in addition to the session on solitary, because there's sort of nothing like having a real concrete idea of what it is like to experience solitary confinement, because I think, as we discussed yesterday, so many of us don't often think about what goes on beyond the gates of a prison. We might drive by them every day and never give them a single thought. And so this was, I think, such an incredibly compelling way to have greater understanding of what's happening. And one of our staff members, I know you know Craig Waleed, has lived experience. He's experienced solitary confinement when he was a younger man, and has gone on to get his PhD and is doing some amazing coalition building in North Carolina at DRNC around an effort to try to stop the use of long-term solitary confinement. So I'm really glad that you had that opportunity, Ed, and that you can share that today to try to continue to raise awareness about this important issue. And it's certainly an issue that requires some advocacy. And the other two sessions that you attended also talked about being in coalition and working stronger together. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. One was a session that focused on individuals with developmental disabilities and an advocacy leadership program, an ALP program, that was really fabulous. ALP is a program where people with disabilities, intellectual disabilities, developmental disabilities, are trained to be advocates on their own behalf, which is just a great step. So it removes them from being in the status where others are advocating on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
We want that, but we don't want that to the exclusion of the people who actually have the disabilities from also being able to advocate on their behalf. So the AL program empowers people with disabilities to become trained advocates, become effective advocates, and it has a twofold result. One, you've got more great people advocating for good outcomes, but it also, I think, elevates those people's, that their self-esteem, their confidence levels in themselves, their abilities are just greatly enhanced by being given the power, the training, the resources needed to do it on their own, advocate on their own behalf. That sort of ties into the coalition, because it does take advocates, self-advocates, people with disabilities advocating on their own, but it also takes others joining the fold and advocating on behalf of people with disabilities, stronger together, I guess, is what it comes down to. And so leaving people with disabilities out of the advocating process just doesn't make any sense. And this AL program is just really beautifully brings the people with disabilities into the progress of advocacy.
So powerful, isn't it?
It was really, really, really impressive and really wonderful to hear from many of the people who have been through the training program and become advocates for their own, on their own behalf.
And that can sort of kind of weaves right into the other session that you attended that was about bringing a disability lens to coalition work, because there are a lot of great organizations in North Carolina doing very effective advocacy, but oftentimes they may not have thought about the disability lens, the disability angle, and literally there's virtually nothing policy-wise that shouldn't involve disabled people and how policy impacts disabled people. So can you talk a little bit about that particular session that you attended?
Sure, and that was really, really special for me, because it ties into some of the work that I do in Durham in the arena of transportation policy. So people with disabilities, and particularly in my case, people who are blind or visually impaired, transportation is a huge issue, because it's no secret, blind people aren't eligible for driving. We can't just go out, get in a car, and go places. So relying on public transportation, on good transportation or pedestrian infrastructure, is really, really important. It's also an area that needs a lot of work. In Durham, there are some really widely recognized deficiencies in the transportation system, both in terms of infrastructure and services. So I've been involved in doing advocacy work to try and get improvements and enhancements and modernization to, say, the paratransit system in Durham, and also to pedestrian infrastructure like crosswalks and intersections and sidewalks. Mm-hmm. And in doing that work on behalf to give a voice to people with disabilities, I've also been working in coalition with other community groups who are representing other communities who are adversely impacted by deficient transportation services and infrastructure, such as marginalized minority communities, neighborhoods that have been historically underserved in Durham, are also finding that their access to effective transportation services is, as I said, underserved, I guess. And they're working towards bringing about the same types of improvements that the disability community is working on bringing about. So it's just been really eye-opening and motivating to be working with other disability advocates, but also other types of community advocates in trying to transform transportation policy in Durham. And we're making progress. It's great. It's working together, stronger together, that kind of thing.
That's just so exciting to hear. And the way that the folks who have disabilities that are working on these issues are also learning about the needs in these other communities that perhaps had not, been at the fore of their thinking. And then the people who are in the marginalized communities are thinking about it from a disability angle now and hadn't maybe had the opportunity to think about it that way as well. So it's one of those things that when it works out, like you say, it's stronger together, and it's like a rising tide lifts all boats, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So there was this that's a little bit about intersectionality, which is something that Marlena Salo, who was the brand new executive director of the National Disability Rights Network, she came in for the conference, as you know, Ed, and was the keynote, or really not quite the keynote, but she sat down with a conversation with our CEO, Virginia Knowlton Marcus, about the disability rights movement over lunch. And Marlena is the first woman, the first person of color, the first person with a disability to lead National Disability Rights Network. And we're thrilled that she's there. And there is that intersectionality that is involved with her conversation and with her life as well. So we talked a little bit yesterday about Marlena's Q&A with Virginia. Tell me about your takeaways from that.
She was really highly motivating. It was and her passion for doing the work that she's been doing over the years as a disability rights advocate, as an attorney, have just been really, really inspiring. And the way she articulates her joy in the work that she does and her dedication to the work she does just really came through beautifully. She really was a captivating speaker and very, very approachable before and after the talk as well. She's mm-hmm. really down to earth and really happy to be engaging with others kind of working on the same cause as her.
Yeah.
I was really impressed.
Echo?
Well, I was going to say, I think I mentioned to you that something that really, stuck with me. At the very end of her interview with Virginia, Marlene just reminded everybody that everything said, it takes love. And just that she used that word, that she infuses love into the work she does, was just something that... I was really happy to hear that. We need to hear that. That needs to be part of it.
Yeah, and I was so glad that you mentioned that yesterday, because it motivated me to go on our website and look at the video that we have on our homepage of Marlena's Q&A with Virginia. And that ending part, as you said, she put in that exclamation point, and she said, love one another. Remember that, love one another. And you have to love yourself, she said. Show up for yourself every single day, which I thought was really important as well. And so then there was this really super empowering closeout session. I mean, I thought it was. Where we, Corey Dunn, our public policy director, and Virginia, our CEO, were exhorting people to think about everything that they had learned during the day and come away with one concrete thing that they were going to commit to doing and write it on a yellow sticky. And you wrote one on you have one as well. So can you tell us what you wrote?
Yeah, so that closing session followed the last breakout session, and the last breakout session I attended was the one on building coalitions and the power of coalitions, and so I had that fresh on my mind, and what I wrote on my post-it was seek and find and build and expand coalitions, and I stuck an exclamation point at the end because I just really thought that was a good takeaway and a good message that came out of the breakout session that I just participated in, and it was really wonderful going to the back of that room. All those sticky notes were placed on the wall, and reading through them was a lot of fun. Another one that stood out to me is someone had just written the words squeaky wheel.
I remember that one too. Yeah, there were about dozens of them. We've collected them. We're going to do something with those. I'm not exactly sure what, but I think it'll be powerful for people to be able to see some of the things that people had to say. Ed, we have a couple more minutes, and so I wonder if you wanted to talk just a little bit more about what you're going to do with that exclamation point you put on your yellow sticky. What, how are you going to be manifesting that commitment?
Well, as I mentioned, doing the work in Durham around transportation policy and transportation improvements, mm-hmm. I'm going to be looking for other communities, other groups who share a need to have those services really effectively delivered. That's a really important one. Also, we do a lot of work with a group called Vision Insights, a support and advocacy group for people who are blind and visually impaired in Durham, and that group has been involved in the transportation advocacy realm as well, but we're also working towards having better access for people with disabilities to the arts and recreation. It's a wonderful organization. We've worked with them in the past, and they are doing great things in Triangle and beyond to afford people with disabilities, not just vision disabilities, but all sorts of disabilities, mm-hmm. access to the arts on all levels, all forms of apart.
Thank you so much for bringing them up. We've run out of time today on another great episode of Legal Matters. And Ed, thank you so much for joining us today. I just truly enjoyed it. And I hope everyone has enjoyed today's episode of Legal Matters. I'm Cass Sharon, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Alliance Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Alliance Club, go to apexalliance.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, low vision, or have print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, NCReadingService.org. If you have comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. So long until next time.